We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Grinders, welcome to Roto Grinders today. I'm Jordan Cooper, aka Blender, aka Blender Ed, Blender HD. You're gonna find me on Twitter. It's Wednesday, March 6th. We're talking NBA today with TJ Zwarich. We don't have, as of right now, we don't have all the Facebook bots since the last time that you were on. That a lot of people wanted to marry us and. Or do some whatever. Probably phishing scams. Probably they wanted our money. They wanted our picks, right? To make a whole bunch of money on DraftKings, FanDuel, Prize Picks, Underdog. We're talking about that all today. Hit that thumbs up button, right? Even if you're a bot, we don't care. We'll take the thummy thumbs. Even if you're a bot, hit the subscribe button. Hit the notification bell. DJ, NBA DFS. I know it's 11 in the morning. I always say this. What's the point? We got an injury. We got an injury report that's a mile long. It's an 8-game slate. We do have late swap, right? They tried that. DraftKings tried it last Friday. So we don't have to worry necessarily about it. But what are the main talking points on this slate? I mean, Giannis questionable, LeBron questionable, Triple J questionable, Jeremy Grant, Keontae George, a bunch of role players, I guess, that may not matter all that much. Where do we start?
I hope today doesn't end up another one of those days that we just got to play a bunch of Memphis chalk with a low total. At least they're actually over 100 points today. But I think to me, the thing that stands out as the most interesting is we have Cleveland going up against Atlanta on the second half of a back-to-back with already without Donovan Mitchell, and Max Strus is questionable because it's a back-to-back. We could maybe see some more guys out as well. They're still without Evan Mobley because he left last game too, or at least that's what we're expecting. So Cleveland going up against Atlanta is probably going to be looking like the big, big chalk today as they're without a ton of guys and in one of the best matchups available. But the other thing that stands out is for the second night in a row, the late night hammer has the highest totals on the slate, and it's not the two highest totals today. It's the second and it's the first and third highest, but still it's a close spread 10:30 PM game. There's actually two games right a half hour before it. So there's some late swap possibilities, but that's the thing that stands out the most to me is that clip that Lakers and Kings game. It's a back-to-back for the Kings. We could maybe see somebody sit. And it's a close, tight spread with a very high total.
Also, you get the extra added appeal that if LeBron is out, you get some late swap equity. But of course, the cute, to me, I always view LeBron's
That's fake Q.
It's more like QAnon than an actual questionable tag. But the Cleveland situation, I mean, looking here at our projections, once you start taking these guys out, I mean, we're projecting like, what, an 8-man rotation? I mean, it seems like you got, I mean, from the RGB column, which I always use in lineup HQ, because you mentioned like the Lakers, the Kings, and these are like expensive options. Like you play AD, Sabonis, LeBron, De'Aaron Fox, right? We're going to still need some value, but on the lower end, like maybe not on the Atlanta side, because everyone's kind of there for Atlanta. You're going to have Deontay Murray in. Well, yeah, but I mean, all the prices have been adjusted. So, yeah. I mean, Trae Young hasn't played in a while. So like all these guys are kind of priced where they should be, right? Like guys like Jalen Johnson or Bogdanovich, right? DeAndre Hunter. But on the Cleveland side, I mean, I could see, I mean, I know it's an 8-game slate, so there you have more options. But I mean, I could see you building lineups with 3 Cavaliers in it because, I mean, how many of them are actually playing? I mean, all these guys are going to be playing major minutes. Like Darius Garland at 7,600, he's going to eat all the minutes that he could handle. You got a cheap guy like Dean Wade. I mean, his fantasy points per minute isn't very good, but I mean, he fills power forward. He fills center. He fills a bunch of spots in your lineup at 3,200. Playing him, and then you could pretty much play anyone you want in any of the other games. So I know you'll be on crunch time later today, and this is a very popular question. How many Cavs are too many Cavs?
It still depends, I think. Like, as it stands right now, I think the number is 3 that you can get to. But Max Strus is listed as questionable. Caris LeVert has been missing some games and was questionable even leading up to last game. And so if he happens to sit on a second half of the back-to-back, like we don't have their injury report yet. This is just guesswork because it's a back-to-back. And so if he happens to be out as well and Strus is out, well, we're looking at like it's very reasonable to play 4. And I don't even think it's nuts to play 5. Like I'm the type of player that I'm good with that because if they're going to be running a 7-man rotation, why the heck not? You know, Jared Allen, Darius Garland, Dean Wade, Sam Merrill, and maybe even Niang. Like if we get Max Strus and Caris LeVert out, that Niang minute projection is probably going to bump to like 28. And so as it stands right now, 3 is probably the thing, but like we'll be ending up with probably 5 in a cash game scenario. If these guys all end up being out, you get the value, you get the 2 mid-range guys, and then you can go, oh wow, maybe I'll just play 1 of AD and or Sabonis and then LeBron. Like it's a pretty easy way to go about things if Cleveland ends up ruling all these guys out.
What other games are we looking at? I mean, I would think about, I mean, it's not like they're great teams or anything, but I mean, OKC Portland. I mean, that's a decent, I mean, the total, I mean, it's NBA in 2024, the totals are going to be, you know, high. When 214 is a low total these days, but we have OKC, we have Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Chet Holmgren on the other side for Portland. I mean, Anthony Simons. I mean, because we have all these Q tags. I mean, like Jeremy Grant, Kamara, Tybal. I mean, Portland tends to kind of have a more evenly distributed rotation, but once you start getting rid of some of these guys, I mean, how much is Ryan Rupert and Justin Minaya going to play? What should we be looking out for on Portland if some of these guys sit?
I think it's really just Reith, Walker. Reith is a solid option. Walker as a boom bust. He's a guy that could finish with 10 points, fantasy points. He could finish with 50 fantasy points. But the real,
I mean, if Grant doesn't play, I mean, I'm assuming Jabari Walker is going to get more minutes. I mean,
yeah, he'll step into the starting lineup again. He's just one of those guys that he's kind of hard to project because like sometimes he'll play 30 minutes and he'll just do literally nothing. And other times he's the best play on the slate. So he's just kind of always a strong tournament option. But the real place we're going to be looking, especially if we get like the Kamara and the Tybals out, is Delano Banton and Ashton Haggins. We expected Haggins to start last week. It was last game. It was actually Banton who stepped into the starting lineup, played 30 minutes and had 35 fantasy points. And so if Delano Banton once again starts into the steps into the starting lineup, or if Haggins does, these guys again are looking like two of the best values on the slate.
Going through our initial projections in the morning, obviously you can get our premium projections here at Roto Grinders. Click on the link in the description, get $10 off your first month. You get the lineup HQ. You get our Sim Labs product, right, which uses our projections, our ownership. You could, you know, easily make within the span of 60 seconds plus EV lineups for any contest you're in on DraftKings. We also have the props and pick and package. We'll be talking a little bit about that in a couple of minutes. We got, let's see, I'm just looking at, you know, just where kind of the values are on this slate. Utah, Chicago, you got Vooch. What's going on with Chicago? I mean, we look here, they were playing. I mean, right now we have Drummond projected for 16 minutes. So is it as the, remember, I'm not paying attention to the day-to-day in NBA, much. Are they not playing Vooch and Drummond together anymore?
It's always been matchup dependent. It's like they do it a ton against the Minnesotas and the Clevelands that run out two big men. But it's very much matchup dependent with him.
So against Utah, that's less likely to happen because, I mean,
exactly. Yeah.
They're essentially running. I mean, I'm looking here. It's like
they don't have big men left. Yeah.
Right.
And so we're going to be, yeah, I think Drummond, it will just strictly be you hope for a bit of a blowout and you in either direction and you're playing him in a GPP because you can always play him in a GPP, but definitely not a main target. The guy I'd want to target the most.
I'm more interested in Vucevic at 8,100. If he's going to be playing the majority of minutes at center, especially against John Collins in an undersized, you know, Jazz front court, but. I'm never thrilled playing jockey Nikola Vucevic.
Yeah. Yeah. Vucevic is kind of looking like a fine cash game play at that ownership. If that ownership sticks throughout the day, I'll probably want to get underweight in tournaments. The guy I like the most on this team is Coby White. I just think on a day-to-day basis, he has by far the highest ceiling. The other thing with Drummond, the reason why his minutes projection has gone down is Caruso's back in the lineup now. And so even though you'd think positionality wise, that doesn't really matter. They just play a different style of lineup when Caruso's out and they'll put Drummond out there more. I think Vucevic is like objectively the top option. Coby White is my favorite. Dosunmu is still fine, even though that price tag is going up. Same with Caruso. And like DeRozan's fine too. It's just, I would always rather play White than Vucevic.
Well, the thing about Chicago is that their rotation is pretty damn condensed. I mean, pretty much their starting lineup plays 30, 35 minutes easily or more most nights. So if this game is close, you know, I'm willing to take shots on that. Utah, not so much. I mean, looking around our initial projections, I mean, we got Orlando, Washington. I mean, these are kind of untrustworthy teams. Let's take a look at Orlando and Washington. I mean, Banchero kind of disappointed the other night for many people. 8,600, I don't know if you get there. Looking at Washington, frustrating. I mean, can you play Denny even at 6,700? I mean, like these prices have gone up. I don't know. What I mean, it's only an 8-game slate, so there's only so many options. What other games? I mean, like this Memphis-Philadelphia game has the lowest total at like 210 or so.
And it's one of the most interesting on the slate.
Oh, why is that?
No Tyrese Maxey.
So is Cameron Payne going to be chalk and fail?
Like, you know, he was chalk and smash last night. Okay. And he will be chalk again tonight in the starting lineup. Tobias Harris looks like a great play. Kelly Oubre is going to be one of the strongest plays on the slate. Buddy Hield disappointed last night, but he's fine again. I don't think you need to mess with the Paul Reed and Mo Bamba situation. If you want, though, you can still play Reed off the bench. And because it's a back-to-back again, we may get some more shenanigans with this Philadelphia situation. Maybe Nick Batum sits on the second half of a back-to-back. And while that doesn't feel like a big deal, that's high 20s minutes out of the rotation. This is one of the more interesting games on the slate, especially if Jaren Jackson Jr. is out. If he's out, we're going to want to play the Memphis side too. And if he's in, he actually looks like a strong play as a run back against some of these Philly guys.
Now, I'm not an NBA analyst, like, you know, from a watching the game perspective, but I take a look at this Philadelphia lineup now. It feels to me like it's the Spider-Man meme. Like, it's Tobias Harris and whoever plays center, and then, like Oubre, Hield, Lowry, Payne. It just feels like it's like, how many three-pointers can we chuck up, I mean, on any given day?
And which it is feels why like it'll whoever... be a pretty it'll be volatile, but there the upside is very, very high. And you know, like Kyle Lowry is going to project like a strong play again, but it's a back to back. He might be out. And Campaign was questionable yesterday. We didn't know Campaign was going to play yesterday until about 10 minutes before the game, and so for 20 minutes before the game. And so there's a chance one or even both of these guys sits, and it could be Ricky Council Day. I don't know.
Ricky Council the fourth, by the way.
Yes, because Ricky Council the fourth, we don't want to mistake him for his brothers, Ricky Council the third or Ricky Council the second. This team is probably going to be very interesting despite the low total.
I just feel like if you're going to play Sixers, like don't play them together. Like it feels like you never play, you wouldn't want to play Kelly Oubre and Buddy Hield together, because like if one gets hot shooting threes, it'll just be them just going off.
I think you can, but you maybe go max two, Tobias Harris, Kelly Oubre, Buddy Hield, Kyle Lowry. And so I think you can play them together, but you max them, it's two of them. Because I do think they're priced cheaply enough that two of those guys can have 30, 35 plus fantasy point games.
Well, we also got the Clippers and the Rockets. These prices seem fairly efficient, right? I mean, who's playing Alper and Zengun tonight? I don't think anyone. I mean, it's embarrassing to playing Vooch. Like, Vooch is $100 more. How much interest do you really have in this game?
If everybody plays, not a ton on the surface. It's a back-to-back for Houston. There's just so many of those tonight. But Şengün had like 60 plus fantasy points last night. I think he might have even eclipsed 70. Like he absolutely smashed. If he plays again, I think he's in play just because he always has a high ceiling. And then Jalen Green and Fred VanVleet are just still priced too cheaply too. So I think they do have strong tournament ceilings. I probably don't get to Paul George or James Harden. I think Kawhi would be the only expensive Clipper I would take a shot on, and then Ivica Zubac is a tournament play I always like, especially when the other team has a big man who plays lots of minutes. He's going to be matching up there with Şengün. He's probably going to play 30 minutes tonight, and so I really like Zubac for tournaments.
And the last game that we haven't touched upon is obviously the one with Giannis. Obviously, if Giannis plays, he always has 80-point upside. But if Giannis does, I mean, the fact that this line is on the Warriors are favored, is it? I mean, I know the Bucks aren't as good this year as they were last year, especially defensively. What do we do if Giannis plays? What do we do if Giannis sits?
If Giannis plays, I don't think we have to do much with Milwaukee at all. Maybe you just play him in tournaments and that's about it. If Giannis is out, well, now Milwaukee is probably the best team on the slate. We're going to want to have Lillard as our top spend-up option. Bobby Portis becomes the top mid-range option on the slate. Lopez looks great in tournaments. Beasley's a fine salary saver. And Beverly and Connaughton look like two of the strongest value plays on the slate in that scenario. So, Giannis, if he's in, I think we can almost ignore Milwaukee, sprinkle in a little bit of Giannis. If he's out, we're going to be loading up.
Mario Donizzi in chat says, how about Pat Beverly?
He was kind of, I think, across the industry the other night, prior to us seeing their starting lineup, he was kind of viewed as the bad chalk. His projection was like up high right away, and he was projected for like 40%+ owned. And then everybody's looking at that and being like, I don't want to play 40% owned Pat Bev. That's awful. And then everybody kind of got off him, and it dropped and the projections went down. And then after Locke, he got announced to be in the starting lineup, and he ended up 10xing his salary.
Well, that's the one thing Pat Beverly could do. Pat Beverly either 2x's his salary or 10x's his salary because of all the secondary stats. Like, you know, it depends on how many steals and blocks, and you know, he ends up with like 4 real life points and 40 fantasy points.
And he's just like, he's the handiest guy in the NBA, and he just kind of doesn't get called for much because of his reputation. And so it's one of those situations too, where it's like, it kind of just depends if the ref is calling him for fouls or not that day.
On the Warriors side, I mean, no one pretty much, I mean, these guys have been sitting, coming back in. I mean, like, it seems like, can you play
too
Steph
big
Curry?
Of a rotation?
I mean, you could always play Steph Curry, but I mean, their rotation, just like, no one plays enough minutes. Like, how do you? I mean, yeah, can Clay go off even in like 25 to 30 minutes? Sure, but I don't know. Can you
such
play
a good spot against Milwaukee? But it's just their rotation is too spread out now because Podzemski was hurt. He's back. Wiggins was hurt, was missing for personal time. He's back, expected to step into the starting lineup. So it's like, I do think like Chris Paul or Podzemski could have a random big game with low minutes, but Curry's really the only one I want to play.
Okay. Let's get the props and pick them. I know you dabble on the prize picks and the underdog. We do have a pick'em tool here. We do have the Roto Grinders Chrome extension for prize picks and underdog. So you could just overlay that over on prize picks. Do you have anything you're looking at currently? And I say the word currently because obviously the injury report is, you know, very low, like a CBS receipt. What do you like on prize picks today?
Early look, Draymond Green, more than 6.5 points going up against Milwaukee. It's a low number, but only 6.5 points. Yeah, I think he could eclipse that pretty easily. That's currently the highest in our fantasy pick'em tool. That's the highest odd play. My favorite of the whole group, though, is more than 13.5 points for Buddy Hield. No Tyrese Maxey. That number's way too low for him. That was basically where he was at yesterday before we got the Maxey news. And so more than 13.5 points for Buddy Hield as it stands is my favorite one on the slate. Nothing really stands out a ton more than those two right at the front. Those are my two favorites. There are others I don't mind. But like I like maybe Clint Capella, more than 19.5 points and rebounds. Maybe Podzemski less than 20.5 points, rebounds, assists. But those are the only two that like are like, wow, I want these ones quite badly off the bat, start of the day.
Our top one right now in the PrizeBooks tool is Alperen Sengun under less than 31.5 points and rebounds. Are you on board with that?
I think
we tend to underproject Sengun a lot of times.
Yeah, well, he's so volatile that I don't really like going there, if I'm being honest. And for what it's worth, that's weird for me. I'm looking at my Price Clicks NBA tool, and that's not even on there. Sengun is like 10th with his less than 35.5 points, rebounds, assists, but he's not up there at the top for mine. It's Green and Hield.
Do I have to refresh it? Nope. I got... Oh, you're talking about yours, your person.
No, like I'm looking at the Roto Grinders one too, Prize Picks NBA, and I just refreshed and it's got different people up top.
Let's see. What's your last update time? Mine is 10:45.
Why is it? Where do I see that?
Go on the drop down, the last thing, you know, where you select Prize Picks NBA, there's a last update.
11:15.
Oh, so why isn't mine updated?
I don't know.
Is it cached or something? You got to make sure. No, mine still says 10:45, 3:16.
Yeah, mine's 11:15.
You're in the future. You're in the okay. So tell me what you got in there. I got to make this prize pick.
So green and healed. Green and healed are the top two, and healed is my favorite one. Third okay, is
I
Kyle
need three
Lowry.
More. I need to get to the flex five. I need.
I got you. I got you. Kyle Lowry is less than 12.5 points.
Okay, less than 12.5, and this kind of goes. This is somewhat correlated to Buddy Hield.
Yeah.
So that you know, the more points that Hield scores, the less points that Lowry scores. Okay, I don't mind that.
Keegan Murray more than 14.5 points and assists.
Points and assists, 14.5 points and more. Keegan Murray, okay.
And then what Terrence Mann, more than 6.5 points.
A lot of points props. So 6.5, Terrence Mann more.
And okay. Then if you want to get it to 6 on the 25X, the next one I would either do is Tobias Harris more than 20.5 or Josh Giddey less than 9.5 rebounds and assists.
Okay, I got that. I got that one before. No, I think this is good. I'll take this. I'll put this in because I made a card earlier before the show, but I'll put 25 bucks. Right. So we got green more than 6.5 points, healed more than 13.5 points, Lowry less than 12.5 points, Keegan Murray more than 14.5 points and assists, and Terrence Mann more than 6.5 points.
Yes,
Gold star lock of the day, right? We have to say that. That's required. The lock fire, the fire emojis. We got to do all the right. A lot of people are watching us on Twitter now. They're used to that, right?
They used aren't to we legally the... obligated to say it's not a lock?
probably. But that's not what people do on Twitter. They typically <just say. laughs> okay. 25 bucks. I'm putting this in. Okay, there you go. And prop wise, obviously, all of these. Correspond to our prop model. You can download our projections. Like if you're a premium member, like I know the prop model stops at like the top 20, but you don't have to stop at the top 20. You could just go to our RG NBA projections page and you could download this whole table as a CSV and you could do whatever the hell you want with it. I export this out. I throw it into Excel. I look at everything across all the books and all everything like that, and I find tons of stuff, right? But if you just want, you know, you're not placing 100 bets like I do. You know, I place a lot of I'll bet like $2,000 or $3,000 on a day, but it's like all like it's $120 and $30 bets together. But if you're not like that, and you just want like I just want like 5 or something, use our prop model. I'm not going to show the whole thing because I don't want to give it out for premium members, right? Because we want to save this so the numbers don't move, right? So you go to the NBA screen. The number one right here on Hard Rock, right, if you're down in Florida, over 6.5 Draymond Green points.
Hey, there we go.
Right. 8.35% edge, which means that it's probably like -115 there, I guess, at 6.5. But you could go there and you could sort by, you know, whatever. Like if you just bet on FanDuel. It'll just give you, we just added these, right? It'll just give you like the top 20 for FanDuel or DraftKings or BetMGM or Fanatics or Hard Rock or Rivers or whatever. So we just added this to the prop model. Obviously, there should just to be clear, if you go to the Fanatics one and you try to bet the top 20 here, good luck getting more than like $13.17 down, but. If you want to, you can feel free to do that. You'll find a lot of stale lines at Fanatics. The problem is they don't really let you bet it, right? But yeah. So if you want the whole thing, I liked it because they just did this week, TJ. Because I use these pages all the time. So this is the first week that I've seen that. Oh, right. So you can go through all of these. Oh, the Draymond Green one is already. Has already lowered. So get on top of the Draymond Green over 6.5 points. That the price is going down. So get some value in there. So TJ, anything else for today in NBA, DFS, props, pick 'em, anything?
No, that's about it for me. But like you said, it's a very long injury report with, and we don't even have half of it. There's so many teams on back-to-backs today. So it's going to be definitely one where you're going to want to stay tuned to the news and be ready to make adjustments, not just with your DFS, but with your props, with your pick'em. And so I'll be on crunch time later today, breaking all that stuff down after it's happening and as it's happening as well.
Yep, we got NBA Grinders Live later today, 5 p.m. Eastern. Immediately following that, around 6:15, 6:20, is crunch time. And that'll be TJ will be on that. You're filling in all week for Roth, right?
Yes, I am Kevin Roth this week hosting crunch time throughout until Monday.
So what's the weather then?
No roof leaks tonight. We should be good. Snow is it. All the snow was in Saskatoon over the last few days, and so there's none to worry about anywhere else. Because what would be your guess as to how much snow we got on Sunday?
Obviously, the way that you're making it out, it means it's either a lot or very little.
Yeah, it's a lot. What's your guess of a lot?
26 inches.
Nailed it. That's how much snow we got on Sunday. It was like, I don't know if it was exactly 26, but like 26, 27, 28 in that range. It was over 2 feet. More than 2 feet of snow on Sunday. Over the course of the whole weekend, more than 3 feet. It was more snow than we have gotten the entire winter so far. We had to cancel our baby shower.
Well, I came back from North Carolina on Monday and it was 70 degrees here.
Good. You're in North Carolina and you didn't even visit my friend Adam. Unbelievable.
Your friend Adam? Who's your friend Adam?
He co-owns Agents of Fandom with me. Great guy. He's in North Carolina.
How am I supposed to know? What the hell are you talking about? I can't believe you went to an entire state that is thousands of square feet and you didn't see Adam. Where in North Carolina does he live?
In his house. No, I think he's like probably like 20 minutes from Chapel Hill-ish, I think.
Okay, so that, I mean, I was in Greensboro. I mean, that's not that close, but it's North Carolina. It's like saying it's Saskatchewan, right? Right? What other than Saskatchewan?
And if you came to Saskatchewan and didn't see me, come on.
What happens if I went to Regina and not Saskatoon? Would you expect me to go from Regina to Saskatoon?
Yes.
How far away are those two cities?
It's about a 2-hour drive.
Okay, so that's not like a hop, skip, and a jump. That's a major.
I'll come to Regina. We'll go to a Saskatchewan Rough Rider game together.
Every team up there is the Rough Riders. Every team.
It's just the one. It's just the one.
Hit the like button on your way out the door. Give me those
like 1965 to 80, there were two Rough Riders. There's
it just
only
seems like every team in the.
It's just one. It's just the one.
Right. Subscribe if you're new here. Hit the notification bell to know when I go live. You'll be back on tomorrow, TJ. You filled for Will today. We'll do some NHL tomorrow. I got MMA. We got a nice, really good MMA card on Saturday. UFC 299 and Squirrel Patrol will be on Friday. And we also have crunch time for that on Saturday. So, come back, check it out. All the Twitter bots, all the Facebook bots. No one asked for a hand in marriage today, so that's pretty good. Pretty good on the Facebook
for yourself.
Front.
I get marriage requests daily from all kinds of places.
Oh, okay. I block those people, right? That's right. I block the whatever in bio people, right? That respond to all my tweets.
Mine are real people asking for my hand in marriage.
Oh, real? Those are real people. Okay.
Oh yeah, just pushing them away all the time.
Well, if they want me, they can come back tomorrow or any day, Monday through Friday, 11 o'clock Eastern, where I'm here talking about all things you're thinking about in daily fantasy props and pick 'em on Roto Grinders today.